Okay, in these parshios that we're reading now, the Torah often mentions Moshe's name and Aaron's name. And sometimes Moshe's name comes first, and sometimes Aaron's name comes first. So why is that? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash to teach you that they're equal, shkulin ke'echad. See, it's like this. If you were, let's say, going to write a letter to the President and Vice President of the United States, you'd always put the President first, dear Mr. President, because the President's more important than the Vice President. The President always comes first. So whoever comes first is more important. But what if you're writing to two people and you want to show they're equal? How can I show they're equal? I mean, you know, I can't put them at the same. How can I show they're equal? Oh, here's how you show they're equal. Sometimes put one first. Sometimes put the other first. That shows they're equal. So that's right. So therefore, Hashem wanted to show that Moshe and Aaron are equal. So sometimes Hashem puts Moshe's name first. Sometimes Hashem puts Aaron's name first to show they're equal. That's Rashi quoting the Medrash. Very nice. Shkulin ki echad. So of course, this Rashi, this Medrash is very, very, very difficult. Why? Why? They're not equal. Moshe was greater. Moshe was the greatest person of all time. Moshe reached a higher level than Aaron did. Moshe talked to Hashem in a way that other Nevi'im couldn't. The Rambam describes those kapel, peh. Every other Navi, if they would have a Nevuah, they weren't able to like keep all their faculties and like be awake and talk. Moshe could talk to Hashem almost like you're talking to another person. The Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 days, the Torah didn't eat. The Rambam's language is, Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskadesh Kimalach. Moshe became almost like a Malach. Aaron never achieved that in the same level. Moshe is greater than Aaron. So what's Pshat and Rashi? It's a very nice answer. It's a very difficult Rashi, Medrash, Hashkafli. The Mefarshim discussed this. So Rav Moshe finds in the Darash Moshe, gives two answers. One answer he gives is, of course Moshe was greater than Aaron. Of course. That. So what does Rashi mean? Rashi means, regarding this job of Yitzias Mitzrayim, they're considered equal. They each had their job to do. Moshe spoke to Hashem. Aaron spoke, mostly the time spoke to Paro. So if two people are working on a project, and they both have necessary jobs of the project, so in that project they're considered equal. So Rashi doesn't mean that in the big picture of life, Moshe and Aaron were equal. They weren't. Moshe was greater. Rashi meant that they're equal regarding Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Then Rav Moshe gives another pshat. And this pshat is a basic yesod in Torah Hashkafa, and it applies all the time in real life, and it applies to guys here in Yeshiva. Rav Moshe writes that Moshe and Aaron were exactly equal. Equal in the eyes of Hashem. In Olam Haba, they'll be equal. Moshe was greater. Moshe reached a higher level. Rav Moshe writes, Moshe Rabbeinu had more potential than Aaron. Moshe reached his own full potential, and Aaron reached his own full potential. And therefore, even though Moshe Rabbeinu objectively reached a higher level, since each one reached his own potential, they're considered exactly equal in the eyes of Hashem. Rav Moshe in the Darash Moshe doesn't exactly discuss like how Moshe had more potential. We know Chazal say that when Moshe was born, the whole room lit up. So maybe Moshe was born with more potential, or it could be for 50, 60 years, Aaron was guiding Am Yisrael with all their tzaros that they were dealing with, and Moshe was sort of off alone in Midian, in the Kush or Midian, 50, 60 years doing his vodidus, you know, and getting close to Hashem. So it could be the way Moshe's life developed, he had more potential. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that since each one reached his own potential, they're considered exactly equal, even though Moshe is objectively higher than Aaron. Just like a little, SAT action over here. If you say, if this is Moshe's life and Aaron's life, so the length of AB equals the length of CD. Although Moshe objectively reached a higher level than Aaron, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the top, But still, since they each grew as much as they possibly could, they're considered exactly equal in the eyes of Hashem. That's the answer which Rav Moshe gives. We're judged by the efforts more than the results. What's the phrase we have for that in Chazal? Lefum tzar agra. According to the difficulty is the reward. The reward is based on the effort you put in. The reward is based on the effort you put in. And this is a major yesod in life. Rav Moshe then goes on to quote a Gemara. And he says that this Gemara can only be understood using this idea. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra that one of the Amorayim got sick. And when he was very sick, he was like halfway to the other side. He had some sort of vision of Olam Haba. Then he got better. So he came back, and his father said, "What did you see?" And the son said, "Olam hafuch ra'isi. I saw an upside-down world. I saw elyonim lamata and tachtonim lamayla. I saw the elyonim were below, the higher people were below, and the tachtonim were above." The father said, no, my son. Olam bo'ra ra'isi. That you saw the olam ha'emes. No, what you saw is the real thing. Don't be confused. That's the Gemara. So, on a simplistic level, you might interpret this Gemara as follows. Who's an Elyon? Somebody chashiv, somebody important. Place. Bill Clinton. He's considered an important person. He was president for 8 years, and he was mostly very popular. He's still popular now. If you're a Democratic and you want to win an election, you get Clinton in and you have a chance you're going to win. He's considered, okay, he's powerful, he's wealthy. So maybe he's like an Elyon. Then you have, let's say, an Orthodox Jew living in Columbus, Ohio, who learns Torah, does mitzvos, not such a chashuv person. So he's perceived as not being so chashuv. So you get to Olam Haba, and Bill Clinton is lower, and this Bala Bus from Columbus is higher. That is how maybe on a simplistic level one could learn the Gemara. But that doesn't make any sense, Rav Moshe writes. Why? Because if that were the case, then why was the son confused? That's obvious. That's obvious. We all know Bill Clinton in his personal life wasn't Clorox bleach clean, to say the very, very, very least. So Bill Clinton is not so holy. So it's obvious that Bill Clinton is going to be below an ordinary good Bala Bus from Columbus, Ohio. So why did the son call it Olam Hafuch? That's obvious. That's a good point. That's not shot in the Gemara. The Gemara is not comparing somebody who's rich and famous, who's considered chashuv, to an ordinary good simple Jew. Rav Moshe writes that the Elyonim means Elyonim in a ruchnius. The Elyon is a Rosh Yeshiva. And the Tachton is a regular Bala Bus. So in here in our world, oh, you're a Rosh Yeshiva. Ooh, you're Chashuv. You're an important guy. And this guy's a Bala Bus. He learns Torah when he can. He tries to be a good husband, a good father. He gives tzedakah. In Olam Haba, maybe the Rosh Yeshiva will be lower. Why? Because that Rosh Yeshiva was a genius. And that Rosh Yeshiva had a wonderful, perfect education. And that Rosh Yeshiva, had he put in more effort, could have been maybe, the Gadol Hador. But this Bala Bas, given his background, given his abilities, given everything about his life, he's really doing the best he can. So that was confusing the son. The son said, wait a second, I see this Rosh Yeshiva and an Olam Haba, this Bala Bas is above the Rosh Yeshiva. And the father says, no, that's the Olam Barur. Because that Bala Bas was fulfilling his potential as much as he could. And that Rosh Yeshiva could have been much greater. He didn't put the effort in. That's a very deep shot in that Gemara in Baba Basra. This is a major yesod in life. We're judged by the efforts, not by the results. This has two major applications in all of our lives, and it applies. Number one, how we judge ourselves. There's a big problem in yeshiva sometimes that guys who are really doing pretty well get depressed. Why do they get depressed? Well, because this guy's doing so much better. And I struggle with Tosfos. I still open up. I open up my doc, my Jastrow. I open up the doctor. I open up Dr. Frank. I never find a Jastro jackpot. I never find a Frank find. I feel like I'm treading water. And this guy, he says on Shabbos, this guy says Divrei Torah. Whew, someone's house for Shabbos has a nice Dvar Torah. And I don't say such great Dvar Torahs. People spend so much time in yeshiva comparing themselves to others, and they can get depressed all the time. You can have guys doing very well, but because this guy is doing, he's doing better, that's a mistake. You should be focused on working as hard as you can to grow in your learning of Avodas Hashem. How do I know if I'm doing well in my growth? Talk to your Rebbe. Talk to somebody older in yeshiva. And if your Rebbe says you're making good progress, you're making good progress. And it's a problem. Because it's the Yetzer Hara, we discussed this, the Yetzer Hara wants you to be depressed. If you're depressed, you're down, you don't work so hard, you give up. The Yetzer Hara wants you, you're learning well, what are we going to do with this guy? He's learning well, he's putting this three shaders, and I know what we'll do. We'll convince him that he should be upset that he's not learning 8 blot a week and only learning 2.5 blot a week, and so he should feel guilty that he's working hard, learning 2.5 blot a week, and then he'll get down, and then he'll stop. And that's what the Yetzer Hara does. That's a mistake. That's terrible. That's terrible. You're judged by the efforts, not by the results. You put the effort in, you put the work in, then the Lufim Tzara Agra. It's your job to work as hard as you can. You're judged by the efforts. You sit down and work on a Tosfos, and you just don't get it. You spend 2 hours working on it, you don't get it. This guy gets the Tosfos in half an hour. Then, after that, he sort of goes and relaxes on the porch for an hour. You come to Shir, and the half-hour porch guy asked a good question in Shir, and me, the two-hour Tosfos guy, I don't ask the good question in Shir. He gets the covered, and I don't, and that's terrible. And then I get down about my life. That's terrible. Lefum Tzara Agra. You put your 2 hours in, you struggle, you try to work it out, and you'll see eventually you're going to learn just fine, but you're judged by the effort. This is the famous, famous vort of the Chafetz Chaim. All my kids' friends know this vort, because whenever one of my kids makes a siyum, we have a thing in our house on Shabbos, so I always say the same Dvar Torah every time. So as of now already, every kid in the neighborhood knows this Dvar Torah by heart. That's what basically, so we say when you make a siyum, you say, Anu Amelim, Behem Amelim. We work, and they work. We're working at Schar, get paid. And hey, man, they don't love a Kabim Schar. They don't get paid. So it's strange. What? If a guy is a shoemaker, he doesn't get paid? If a guy is a tailor, he doesn't get paid? You get paid if you're a tailor or a shoemaker. What does it mean? We work at learning, we get a lot of Schar. They work, they don't get paid. Wait, you don't get paid you get paid in other jobs. So the Chafetz Chaim, it's in Parshas Bichul Kosai, on the Allah Tova. Look it up. Chavos says, no, here's the pshat. In most jobs, not all, in most jobs, you're paid for the result. If you're a tailor, and the tailor measures you, and you're a size 42 regular, and then the suit comes back, and it's a perfect size 38 slim, you're not going to pay for it. He didn't make you what your shoes. You go to a shoemaker, you're exactly an 8.5. And the guy makes you really nice, perfectly sized, 10.5 wide shoes. You're not going to pay him for the shoes. In most jobs in this world, not all, you're paid for the results. Did you make the shoes I wanted? Did you give me the suit that I wanted? If it doesn't fit, you're not going to pay for it. In learning, you're paid for the effort. And that's why it says, Amelim. We work, and they work. We get paid for the work. And in learning, you're paid for the work. If you sit down over a Tosfos and you sincerely try to work at it for 2 hours and you don't get it, you get exactly the same schar as the other guy who got it in half an hour. Now, if you're not getting it, you should ask your Rebbe or ask somebody older, is there something I can do differently to get it better? It's always good to be more productive. But you get the schar for the effort, not for the result. So use this Dvar Torah to give yourself chizuk. I'm working hard. I'm making progress. I'm doing well. Yeah, but so-and-so's doing much. That happens at every level. And you can always find somebody your age who knows more than you and learns better than you. So if you go through life like this, but even at the highest levels, you can go through your whole life depressed, and you're doing really well. And it's such a mistake. Lesson number two is not how we judge ourselves, but how we judge others. We have to be so careful to not be judgmental of others, because we don't know the whole story. We only see the results. We don't see the effort. We see that I see you. I don't see the effort. I don't know your background. I don't know your story. I don't know what goes on in your house. And it could be, and this happens in life. So don't be judging this guy. So I'll tell you a story. You have to be so careful, because you only see the results. You can't be judgmental. Who knows the whole story? Who knows the whole story? Hashem. And you know what? Hashem's judgmental. That's one of his jobs. Yes, Hashem does judge us because he's judgmental, because he knows the whole story. Given your background, he knows how well you should be and can be doing. But big yisod. I'll tell you a story. The story happened 16 years ago. So any similarities to this story, to any schools you know, the schools you're thinking of probably didn't exist back then. Okay. So there's a girls' school in the States, sort of a Beis Yaakov school, and there was always a struggle in that neighborhood that some people wanted the school to be very Beis Yaakov-y, and some people liked the school the way it was. All right. So the principal of the school gets a phone call from a friend of hers, and the person says, you should know, the girls in your school play basketball outside on Shabbos. That's what's being said around the neighborhood. In other words, somebody who was against the school being moderate was spreading a negative rumor, hey, they play basketball, which you shouldn't play basketball on Shabbos. You shouldn't do that. Nerf basketball in the house is okay, but I wouldn't play basketball. You shouldn't play basketball outside on Shabbos. So the friend of the principal called the principal to tell her, you should know what's going around the neighborhood. Look into it. So she looked into it. So here's the story. In this school, the way it worked was, most of the kids in the school were from birth, and this school always had a small percentage of Baalei Tshuva, and the school Dafka brought them in. At that time, it was mostly a Baalei Tshuva from Iran and Iraq, from the Sephardi world, mostly. And so the school liked it, because the school felt it was good for the Baalei Tshuva, at that time a little less religious, to be in a really religious school, and they're being pulled up by everyone else. And it was very good for the more religious girls to have other girls there to work with and talk to and deal with, and it was good for everyone. It was mamish, everyone's game. So the girl playing basketball was one of these Sephardi girls. So here's the story. The principal, I met this girl, here's the story. Her family wasn't religious, and she'd become religious on her own. And in her house on Shabbos, the TV's on, the radio's on. This is before internet, whatever. It would have been, whatever. But this TV, radio, the phone's ringing. And she wanted to leave her house every Shabbos. The parents said, no, you're part of the family. So they had a deal. Friday night, she left the house and went to a friend's house for the meal. Shabbos day, she's home. That was the deal. So she's home Shabbos day. She's making Kiddush. The TV's on. Trying to have a Shabbos meal. The radio's on. The phone's ringing. This is her life. She couldn't handle being in her house on Shabbos. So she had to leave. But she had to think of an excuse to leave that her parents would accept. Oh, so her parents know she likes playing basketball. So she'd go to her backyard Shabbos afternoon after lunch and play ball in her backyard. That way, she's out of the house, out of the TV, the radio, the phone. But her parents know she's being normal, and they accept that. So this girl playing basketball on Shabbos, because what she's doing is much more Shabbistic than being in the house and having the TV on all over the place. But some guy sees what she's doing, just sees the snapshot of what she's doing, makes phone calls, Lashon Hara, Hotzo Hashemra, against her, against the school. That's what happens if you don't think of Lufum Tzara Agra. I started crying when I met her, this girl. Yeah, she could have found something else to do. Okay, but given the circumstances, that was a great thing she was doing. She was having a more Shabbistic atmosphere, being in her backyard, and not having her parents always yelling at her that she's always running away from the house, which they wouldn't allow her to do. You're judged by the efforts, not by the results. This applies how we treat ourselves, how we view ourselves. Don't get down because you have a friend your age who learns better than you. It's a mistake. There's only one type of kina that's good. That's called kina sofrim. Kina sofrim is where, because if my friend can do it, so can I. If you have a friend who's doing well, you say, you know what? You know, I can do that too. That's the only type of healthy kina. That's called kina sofrim. Don't start comparing yourself to your friend and getting down because you can't do what he can. You put in the effort. You're growing. You're doing just fine. And number two, be very careful from judging others negatively. Only Hashem knows the whole story. Let Hashem be the one that does the judging. Got it? We'll stop here.